Welcome to ASTD's podcast series. For more information about ASTD, please visit our website at www.astd.org. This is the view from the Learning Executive in the June 2010 issue of Learning Executives Briefing. Transforming the Learning Organization. By bringing together people who share interests and direction, no matter their location, social media has the capacity to transform training into a learning mechanism as natural as it is powerful. There's no doubt that social media has everyone's attention, including the learning profession. Sessions at the recent ASTD International Conference and Exposition that touched on the topic were filled to capacity. And while everyone from the National Weather Service to Dr. Pepper seems to be leveraging Facebook and Twitter to deliver critical messages, how does it fit into workplace learning and an organization's goals? In the new ASTD Barrett Kohler book, The New Social Learning, A Guide to Transforming Organizations Through Social Media, which will be available in ebook form in July, authors Tony Bingham, CEO and President of ASTD, and Marcia Connor, Partner for Enterprise Collaboration with the Altimeter Group, examine the use of social media for learning by exploring a specific social media approach in depth in each chapter and elaborating on how it leads to tacit and explicit learning. Concepts are punctuated with case studies and examples of companies using social media effectively. The authors spoke with Learning Executives Briefing. Why is this a good time for a new look at social media, especially as it relates to learning? Bingham. Marcia and I wrote this book because we felt there was a bigger story that wasn't being told about the application of social media. Historically, the learning community has stayed away from informal learning and social learning, and that's where the majority of learning is taking place. We now have the tools and the catalyst to engage them with that kind of learning. I think that is going to help the learning community take it to the next level. Most of the books on this topic have described all the software tools. There are plenty of books, and we definitely talk about those tools. But we wrote the book to spark people to take action in the area of social learning. That was our objective. Taking the first step is critical, and we hope this book helps people take that first step. While we spend time talking about the tools, we also recognize that there is a finite life to many of those tools. Part of the strategy for the book was to ensure that it stays alive. Not only is it a book, but it will also have an accompanying website. It will feature videos and other content and build a community, and will also update the contents of the book. The other element that is important is that we talk about the why of social learning. We think people need to understand why they are doing it. It's not a typical ROI calculation. It's about how you are being relevant to the business. How are you solving business problems? How are you demonstrating impact? Social learning provides some big opportunities. As I've spoken to a lot of learning executives, they get it, but sometimes they are taking a step backwards. They say, yes, but it won't work here. A section in every chapter addresses how to deal with that hesitation and how you get around it. We show people how to take action, and we show them how to work around people who are trying to stop you from taking action. So basically, there's no excuse. We give people the resources to get started, and that's the aim of the book. Connor. We also have a broader audience intended for the book. While both of us have spent most of our careers working with learning professionals, we know that people learning from one another enhances the bottom line value of any organization. This is relevant to every part of the organization and any line of business. Many organizations have relegated the idea of learning to one specific department, yet everyone all the time is learning. Here's an opportunity for people inside the organization to take charge themselves, even if they don't have responsibility from within a learning or training function. This book will give everyone an opportunity to understand how people are learning, how they connect with one another, and how they can add value to their organization. The intent here is not only for the learning department, but for any department inside any type of organization that can benefit from people learning from one another. It seems that there have been trends in learning before, learning management systems and e-learning were technology-driven innovations. Other than technology, what is different about social learning? Connor, we can go all the way back to the Stone Age for examples. You can look at the way people have evolved and shared information. People have always looked at certain technology as the answer to the next big thing. But the way I look at it is, for the first time, social media is available to everyone in every kind of organization. This isn't just for knowledge workers or people who have access to computers. While the topic of learning is not new, we are not trying to convey that this is the next big thing. We're recognizing that people learn this way naturally, and we are going to give them the tools to expand that. This kind of learning is not being organized top-down. It is organic and socially constructed. And for the first time, it is not just for the purpose of understanding what is known. The opportunity for social learning is to be able to extend and understand what is unknown. Together, we will construct something that didn't exist before. From our perspective, the technology is not the story. The opportunity is to be able to connect people in new ways. We won't have to go to a conference to find out about e-learning or have a specific person devoted to knowledge management. The tools will be available in people's pockets and purses, and they can access that in a way that hasn't been done before. The story for me is this is a way for us to get back to the way people have traditionally learned, from one another in a natural, comfortable way that hasn't been done in a long time. It doesn't have to be relegated to one department and one group of people. It's a chance for organizations to get back to what's important. Is the corporate climate receptive to this concept? Bingham, two things are happening. One of the case studies in the book is about the CIA. You have to figure that if the CIA can get comfortable with it, just about any organization should be able to embrace it. But there are most certainly corporate climates that are not comfortable with it. Underneath, there is a torrent of people coming into companies and organizations, and this is the way in which they are totally comfortable in learning and collaborating. What is different this time, especially as opposed to knowledge management and e-learning, was that those methods were pushed down from the top. This is not technology in search of an application. This is being driven by the masses. And if you stop it, people are going to go around it. Connor. In fact, the CIA example in the book is one organization that wanted to share. They wanted to be an exemplar. They wanted to show that it could be done there with the level of security and discretion they require. They focused on helping people make smart choices as opposed to limiting the technology. A lot of organizations we've talked to recognize that this is going on in their organizations. They can choose to ignore it or they can choose to support it, but they can't really choose to turn it off. It can't be stopped in its tracks. The organizations that will go the furthest, the fastest, are those that recognize what is going on and take advantage of it. They will illuminate it and help people learn from one another. It's not a conversation of if, it's a conversation of how and how well. What are some of the measurements that might be used to gauge the effectiveness of social learning? Connor, while much of the book focuses on the publicly available tools such as Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook, it also examines tools that can be used inside the firewall. Almost all of the internal tools have metrics that can be checked. How many people are using the system? How frequently do they come back? It's one thing for people to adopt a system once, but it is another if they never do anything with it. It's far more important if they come back because they find value in what they are doing, and it's about how long they stay or how many people they invite in. These tools have the ability to track how much each individual is contributing to the shared knowledge of the entire organization. That is a radical departure from a top-down management philosophy. This is one area we've been really focused on because we have heard over and over from people who think this area can't be measured and that there's no way to determine a return on investment. It's just blatantly false. Every type of information sharing, if it's truly about sharing, can be measured. In the learning field, we've gotten very comfortable in measuring very specific and finite experiences and not always the greater connecting that is going on. These tools will allow us to look at some of those connections differently. The proceeding has been excerpted from Learning Executives Briefing, a monthly publication of the American Society for Training and Development. For more information, please visit our website at astd.org. LX Briefing's editor is Rex Davenport. LX Briefing's managing editor is Paula Ketter. Music by Incompetech.com. And I'm your host, Jennifer Homer.